This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. Meant to cut me down. And if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. No, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by the absolutely lovely, lovely Michael Joseph Hardick. How are you doing?
I'm really good. How about you?
I'm amazing. It's wonderful to have you here, Michael. We've wanted to get you here for a little while now. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. I'm a fashion and lifestyle blogger on Instagram. I work for a digital marketing agency doing influencer marketing. And I'm a musical theatre performer.
Amazing. And one of the reasons that I wanted to get you here today was so that we could talk about being LGBT plus, but also kind of being in the whole, in the fashion world. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of the time, although we think those two things go hand in hand, mm-hmm. I think a lot of the time they don't mm-hmm. as much as we would like them to. Mm-hmm. What has your experience been of that?
In London, it's been quite good, to be honest. It's more in my hometown. Even if you wear like a pink t-shirt, you're going to get looks from like 50 different people.
Yeah.
But I've kind of grown to just ignore it and stuff. If you feel confident and happy in yourself, then normally you're not like appearing nervous. You're not appearing caring about what they're saying or looking at. So, yeah.
Yeah, and do you ever find that when I kind of look at fashion bloggers and that whole side of things, it seems to often be really dominated by kind of your straight cisgender men. I don't know if that's something that you've ever encountered yourself.
for me, I feel like even when I look on my profile sometimes and when I've spoken to people, they don't actually know I'm gay unless I say, because on my profile when I'm like posing, it comes across sometimes more masculine.
Yeah.
It's difficult to like define the term, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Do you ever feel pressured to almost, I guess, play down the your queer side, I guess?
Definitely not. Like, but it's just I've noticed recently when just speaking to people, when they meet me in person after like seeing me on Instagram for so many like months, they're like, oh, like you're completely different to what I actually imagine you to be.
Yeah.
So I'm really starting to talk more like stories and come across like showing my proper personality. I don't want to come across as just this like face, you know, that just like poses in pictures. There's much more about me.
I would disagree a little bit. I mean, I do think your personality does come across on your Instagram, etc. Like, I don't think you're making it sound like you're incredibly wooden or something, and you're not. You are full of personality, and that does come through. So,
thank you.
Yeah, don't talk yourself down, Michael. I think my experience is that I've talked to a lot of fashion brands and stuff in the past, and you know they've invited me to work on campaigns and things, but they're often almost reluctant to, I guess, let me be myself, like we were just saying. And I find it's, again, it's like, oh, no, you're a LGBT blogger. You don't do fashion. And I find it frustrating that those two things can't kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because when Pride Month rolls around every year, you know, you get all the fashion brands suddenly come out and they're like, okay, we want to support the gays now. We want to work with LGBT plus people. We want to be diverse. We want to be representative.
Yeah.
But it does feel a lot like they kind of go back in the closet and disappear when it's not Pride Month, when it's not that time of the year.
Yeah, I really like when I work with brands, they let me pick the clothes that I want to wear.
That's
nice. They don't send me just pieces. I choose what I want and I try and find the most eccentric items. Some brands, that's not really possible. We have just a generic amount of colours. But whenever there's sequins, I will reach out for those sequins.
You're wearing a lovely denim jacket with sequins on it, and it's got what do we call this? Frills? Little fringe, little rainbow fringe there.
Festival vibes.
Yeah, it's very nice. And also, I think the first time I met you, Michael, you were wearing a lovely mesh top with your full body exposed, which is always what we like to see. where would you like to you know, if we were to make the fashion industry a little bit more, if we were to make it more inclusive, if we were to, you know, make it better, what do you think we should do?
Definitely add sequins to all menswear ranges. I honestly, I get looks sometimes when I go to like PR events and I'm like, we need more sequins, and they're like, oh, maybe for like the party range at Christmas. And I'm like, no, all year round. Like, I feel like more men now want to express themselves, whatever their sexuality. Like, things are becoming more cool now. You don't have to always just be so like monochrome.
Yeah, I do agree, actually. I remember around just before New Year, I was out and I was shopping for like a New Year outfit, and I wanted something really glittery and sparkly. And the women's sections were full of that for New Year. It was all glitter, all sparkle, all your golds, all your silvers, all of that. And then you would go into the men's, and I would often find it'd be very grey. And like you said, monochrome, just black and white. And I don't understand why. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's just not the demand for it. Maybe if they put that out, people wouldn't buy it.
Let's try it and then we'll see.
And how do you, and what do you think about gender roles and the kind of boxes that we're often put into?
In terms of that, like, I just feel like everyone's themselves, if that makes sense. In this day and age, just kind of that kind of thing just needs to like go away. I definitely, we're moving towards a more positive environment, not just with like LGBT but also with like mental health. More conversations are opening up, which is great, thanks to social media. There's positives and negatives, I think, of social media, but I think that's definitely a positive. Like, people are talking about important things that normally used to be taboo, used to be things that like you didn't speak about. And I'm definitely someone who wants to speak about really personal subjects and stuff, because I think it will help others.
Well I know mental health is something that you are really, really passionate about yourself, and you want to share more of online. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
I have post-traumatic stress disorder from being sexually abused when I was a teenager and when I was much younger. It's not something that ever goes away, but I've literally learned to just live my life. I don't want to ever miss anything. I don't like there was a time when I would like miss events, I would miss important things with like friends and things, and eventually I was just like, why am I like doing this? So had some counseling, got some help. I think that's really important, like that's with social media, making a conversation. Doesn't have to be a counselor, it could just be people online that you're talking to about it, and you're helping them but you're also helping yourself. So that's really helped me anyway.
And have you had, when you've posted about this online, mm-hmm. have you had like people, how have people, what's the response been like?
Really positive. I've had people reach out and say like, I'm really like proud of you for what you're doing, and then they say about their issues, and I try to like respond. I try to not speak as if I know what they're going through, because there are so many different like mental health issues, and I'm not like a professional.
Yeah.
I only know really about mine, to be honest, and my mum has bipolar. So yeah, I just try and like give them all the advice that they need. I'm here.
I think it's a really interesting and important distinction you make there, where you point out that you aren't a professional.
No.
You know, I think there are a lot of people with very, very good intentions online who go online and they talk about mental health. But, you know, I think always having that disclaimer there to say, look, I can talk about my experiences and hopefully that'll be helpful to you. Mm. But I can't, like you say, I can't give you professional advice. So, you know, if anyone is out there and they do need that help, they should, you know, we should be signposting them to the support services they need. I mean, like you got for yourself.
Yeah, and there's so many. I'm not going to like raise awareness to any, because there's hundreds, but there's like students, sometimes they'll take the whole day to like be on phones, and you call them, and like this is normal if you're like really struggling, if that makes sense. And I've been in that position. I've been in a position last year, my dad got prostate cancer, my degree was falling apart, my life was falling apart, and obviously with stress that makes my symptoms much worse. And I did take one call, and then I managed to get the help that I needed to get myself back on track last year. So
was it scary to take those kind of first steps?
No, I think at the time I needed to. And there were friends who were like, you need to like speak to people about this, and not just friends, like there are times eventually when you do actually need like professional help. Don't be ashamed of that,
you know? 100%
everyone slips sometimes in life.
And was there a specific moment as well that you decided that, you know, that you wanted to talk to your audience about this? You know, was it something that you held back? Was it something that you kept from them at first, or was it something that you were always like, you know, I want to be upfront and I want to talk about this because it's important to me?
Yeah, no, I've always been upfront. As I said, subjects like sexual abuse and mental health, they shouldn't be taboo subjects. A long time ago, I used to speak to people and they'd be so shocked that I'm talking about such controversial, in their opinion, subjects, and being like, how could you be talking about this in public? Like, no one needs to know about this. And like now, in like a few years now, I feel like we've all really like grown to like talk about things. Obviously like the Me Too movement has been going on, which is huge, and like allegations, like people have come forward about past sexual abuses, and it's amazing to be honest that like people have the confidence now to be able to talk about that kind of stuff.
I think it's a real shame as well that people would kind of, you know, try and silence people when they try to talk about these things. And I think that says more about, you know, that's those people and their discomfort, you know, about talking about these things. And I think they should go away and almost have a conversation with themselves and say, you know, why, what makes me uncomfortable about this? Because like you say, I think talking about it is so, so, so important. And the more people who come out and talk about these things, you know, the more there are other people out there who are afraid to talk about it themselves. And if they just see, you know, maybe even just one person, maybe a friend, maybe whoever,
shows it's okay, because it is okay.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Well, Michael, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here today. We've got loads and loads of fun coming on the show today. We're going to be playing a little bit of Porn or Not Porn later on. I don't know if you've been briefed on that one, Michael.
A little.
And we are also going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions later on. So if you are listening, you can email your sex confessions into callum@fubarradio.com, and that is completely anonymous. So give us your best or your worst, whichever way you look at it. Shall we have some music?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, this is a little bit of Beautiful by Kush.
So what if you're a little different? doesn't mean you can't live your life. Stand tall, don't let them take away your pride. My eyes don't ever see the difference, the little changes in between our lives. As one, I'll be standing by your side.
Michael, are you ready for a game?
Yeah.
We are going to play Pawn or Not Pawn. This is everyone's favourite game. If you are a new listener and you do not know how this game works, in front of me here, I have five different sound bites. Some of these have been taken from Pawn and some of them have been taken from Not Pawn. And we... apparently, your favourite brand is Twister Taylor. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's where I got all my sequin blazers from.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Well, I'll have to look them up. Are you wearing Twister Taylor now?
I'm not wearing ASOS.
Oh, you let them down. We love ASOS, though. We love ASOS.
We love ASOS.
Well,
confirmed.
Because of that, we have done a Twister themed Pawn or Not Pawn this week. So, also, I do not know the answers either, Michael. We are a team on this. Mm. So, some of these have been taken from Pawn, and some of them are Twister themed. I'm going to guess like the adverts. Remember those old adverts in the 90s for Twister? I'm kind of guessing that's where this is going. Mm-hmm. But who knows?
Oh.
You look nervous.
Yeah, games make me nervous.
We'll do it together. We'll do it together. It's fine. Are you ready for your first one?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I mean, I have made both of those noises during sex before, also during Twister. So, you know, it could go either way. Have you ever played Twister?
Yeah. I did dance and I was very flexible, so I did well at that game.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Not anymore, unfortunately.
I once went to a house party. This is actually in my book, which has not yet been published, but I actually talk about this in my book. I once went to a house party where they were playing Naked Twister, but there was like 10 people involved.
I would love to do that.
It was
I'm
a lot of fun.
Oh, but you played it. You got involved.
But yeah, but there was a lot of like things in faces and
oh, wow.
it was good. It was a good time.
It was
but
an experience.
It was a lot. Should we listen to that again?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. I don't, something is telling me, I feel like the obvious answer is Twister, but something is telling me porn.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with porn.
Do you think so as well? Yeah, I think it's, I feel like maybe this is some kind of BDSM porn or...
Being like tortured or something.
Yeah. Just a nice little bit of torture.
Dick shoved in the hole really hard.
Dick shoved in a hole really hard. You know, not to beat around the bush. Okay, we are saying that this is porn. Final answer. Scores on the doors. And it is taken from a game of Painful Twister. This is not porn.
Oh.
The players must stand on whipped cream, boiled eggs, kidney beans, and drawing pins. How is that Twister? I don't understand.
Sorry, drawing pins sounds absolutely awful.
So I'm guessing they're like on the... Do we have a video or something of this? I'm guessing we've got the Twister mat, and then those things are... So it's like right hand red, and then there's drawing pins on it.
Oh, God.
Oh, it sounds like a lot.
I wonder if the game did well.
I'm being told that's exactly how it works. Yeah, amazing. I fancy a go.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the drawing pins. Everything else, I'll take.
Yeah,
it's
fine. You're in. Yeah. Okay, we'll do it without the drawing pins later. All right, are you ready for your next one, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Things are going to start heating up around here.
Things are going to start heating up around here. What are you thinking? I can see the cogs working away in there.
I think it's Twister again.
Do you?
Yeah.
Things are going to start heating up around here.
I don't know. I'm leaning towards porn again.
It sounds too casual.
To be porn?
Yeah, to be porn.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. Unless he's bad. He's a bad porn actor.
Which is most of them. Yeah. I mean, there are some very talented porn actors.
Yeah,
but
I'm like, click off the thanks,
bye. I kind of think that that bad porn acting sometimes can... contribute to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I quite enjoy the bad acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I click in and I'm like, okay, yeah, but this is part of it, you know. Let's hear that again.
Things are going to start heating up around here.
I would be inclined to go with you, actually, and say that this is Twister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Shall we say that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we are saying that this is not porn, and we are saying that this is a game of Twister, of some description. This is not porn. This is taken from the Flaming Jenga episode of Extreme Board Games. Mm. The Jenga tower is doused in lighter fluid before being ignited.
Oh my God.
What? That is... I mean, there's extreme board games and there's, you know, third degree burns. That doesn't sound like a great deal of fun, if I'm honest.
Yeah, these are all like very painful games.
Yeah, so have I got... So these are not all Twister. They're board games and other fun games. Okay, got it. I explained the rules wrong. Classic me.
One for the bedroom, I think, these games. Yeah.
Would you play Flaming Jenga?
No, I'm not crazy.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I would play the painful Twister, but I'm not sure I would go in for Flaming Jenga.
Yeah, no.
Should we have our next one?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay. Here we go.
Is it my turn?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, those are such porn voices. It's that like LA. No, you don't think so.
I still think it's a game.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I can
her turn for Twister, but then I might be thinking it's too obvious.
I think that's too obvious.
Mm.
I think she's like, is it my turn?
It's an orgy.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean, though, about the like stereotypical porn voices?
Yeah.
I feel like if I went onto like Pornhub right now and clicked into any video, I would hear a voice just like that one.
Yeah. Let's go for it. Let's go for porn.
Yeah. Okay. We are saying This is porn. Final answer.
Final answer.
This is indeed porn. See, I know
Thank
my
you,
porn
Callum.
Voices. I know my porn voices.
I bet you do.
This is taken from Devil's Film Swingers Play Wife Sharing Twister.
So it's still Twister.
Twister
See,
is in there.
I got a board game vibe. Yeah.
What? How do we play Wife Sharing Twister? So like... I don't even know where to begin with that. It sounds like fun. Wish I was invited. Not with women, but... Should we do our next one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go.
All right, boys, let's see who first.
Porn, I think.
Porn?
Yeah, dominant daddy.
What did he say? Did you hear what he said?
Let's see who's first.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. All right, boys, let's see who first.
Australian.
I know I just said this about the last one, but I feel like I actually specifically recognise this guy's voice now.
Oh.
Like, I've actually got a guy's face in my mind.
For porn. Okay.
I genuinely feel like I might have actually watched this.
Oh, God. Okay.
I really do. I might be wrong, but I feel like I've actually seen this. And it's going to be some, like, extreme fetish or something. I really think this is porn. Yeah. I'm not going to twist your arm.
No, I'm thinking porn
You're
as well.
You're thinking porn
yeah,
as well. Let's hear it one more. Dominant daddy.
That is the truth.
You sound so sweet when you say that. let's hear it one more time.
All right, boys, let's see who first.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
Oh, no, what if it's, like, really sweet and innocent now and this is literally just
a
dad
it's a family game
playing Twister with his children
kids, yeah.
and I've made it disgusting.
Yeah, your fault. It'll be on you.
I mean, I'm still going to say porn. We're saying porn. Final answer.
Final answer.
This is not porn.
Maybe he was in the advert for the Twister, but he's also been in some porn.
Maybe. A bit of both.
Bit of a spiel there.
So... From this one, this is also taken from a game of Deadly Twister. And in this one, the players must stand on mouse traps, lit candles, and tinned spaghetti.
I'm out. I'll have the spaghetti. And that's it.
Have you ever had a mousetrap, like, close on your finger or your toe or anything?
No.
It's been, like, a fear of mine since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it hurts, but I feel like it hurts a lot.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with that shit.
I'd be in for a game. I would be in for a round, I reckon. I really want to see these videos now. I feel like you found these in, like, a very dark corner of the internet.
Yeah, dark corner of the internet. A few hours of, like, searching and boom, we're there. Yeah.
It's all research, though, so it's fine. Okay, what are we doing for scores? I feel... what did we get?
I think we're doing quite well.
We got 3 out of 4, I think, maybe. 1 out of 3, you're telling me. We only got one right. Are you telling me we only got one right?
1 out of 4.
We got 1 out of 4.
I thought we got 2.
Oh, we're doing awfully.
Oh.
Oh. Letting us down. It's me that's letting us down, I'm going to be honest. All right, let's have our final one.
Throw the sludge on.
What? What did he
Throw
say?
Throw the slingshot.
Throw the slingshot?
Throw the sludge on.
Sledge on?
Throw the sludge on.
Oh, throw the sludge on?
Yeah.
Like, add sludge?
Yeah.
Why could nobody just play, like, a regular Twister? You know, just a normal game of Twister. Why do we have to add mouse traps and...
Sledges.
Sledges or sludges or whatever it is.
Throw the sludge on.
I can hear someone fapping in the background, I swear. I swear I can hear that sound in the background.
Listen very carefully, listeners.
Throw the sludge on.
I hear the fapping.
Yeah,
hear the
I'm
fapping.
Going with porn.
Well, but it could also be like something else might be making that noise during Twister. I don't know. Yeah, porn?
Yeah.
You think porn? Why are we throwing sludge on them in porn?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why anything?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to say porn. Final answer.
Oh,
this
God.
Is not porn.
Shows you've got such a dirty mind. Slight of sound. We're like, it's porn.
They're wanking.
Hands down.
This is taken from Slippery Twister. And the sludge is made of liquid soap.
Sludge, not sludge.
Sludge.
Sludge. That guy needs to work on his Speaking.
Our lovely producers are telling us that we got 2 out of 5 right, Michael.
I think that's all right.
Which puts you like right at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of success at this game.
I'm blaming it all on you.
We've had people get 0 right, and it's usually me that steers them wrong, like I did here. It's not your fault. It's all good. Should we have a little bit more music?
Definitely.
Okay, this is a little bit of Girls You Rule by Pragya Pallavi.
Morning, running around here and there. I wonder if you're giving, yourself a little care. Ooh, you need some you time. Go have fun and play. Don't feel so sorry. You're a queen, not a prey. Girls, you rule the world. Just keep this in your head. Come on, move your moves. Break the rules and do things in your way. You are so worthy. You don't need to prove yourself. No need to work your ass off all night and all day. Ooh, you need some you time. Go have fun and play. Ooh, don't feel so sorry. You're a queen, not a prey. Girls,
now joined by the absolutely lovely, the stunning Carmen Liu. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm very good, thank you. This is Carmen.
It is. And I'm joined in the studio as well by the lovely Michael.
Hey, Carmen.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I am wonderful, thank you.
Carmen, it's amazing to have you on the show. And I want to dive right in and talk about all the amazing work that you're doing. I've been reading about your lingerie line today, and I just think it's absolutely incredible. Do you want to tell our lovely listeners a little bit about how you got started and what it is that you've actually created?
Definitely. So I am a transgender woman. So 4 years ago, I was male. And when I transitioned, the first product that I searched for was transgender lingerie to obviously hide my male parts down below to appear as a female body. And when I was Googling online, I actually couldn't find anything. So last July, I actually began the journey of creating my own lingerie for trans women. And on the 28th of February, we had our first runway and we launched the company. And we actually sold out in 3 days around the world.
Wow. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. And it shows that there is a massive need for it.
Oh, high demand. So, so high.
And I guess you realised that because you needed and wanted it yourself. And when you looked around and there was nothing. So you were like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really strange. I mean, obviously, you Google something and normally you're met with thousands of different products. But there literally was nothing. It was just so bizarre. And just from the beginning of my transition, I just felt so let down.
Yeah.
I just wasn't excited. Well, obviously, I was excited. But, you know, I just thought, oh, no, is it going to be like so many hurdles along this journey?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, coming out as transgender and transitioning and all the rest, there are so many barriers and things to overcome. And I think, you know, myself as a cis man, you know, it never would have occurred to me that there was a need for that. So, you know, I think it takes a transgender person to step up and say, no, look, we need this thing, so I'm going to create it.
Mm.
That is my exact same wording.
I'm stealing your lines.
Steal my lines. Yeah, so I mean, for me, I do feel like a lot of the products that we are releasing, which you're unaware of, they do have to come from within, because unless you're living the life, you don't necessarily know what we don't have or what we do have. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I just assumed lingerie, which is a kind of a basic product, it would be there, but it's just not there.
Yeah, and I feel like as well, like I know how much it meant to you. I think you said that when you first put them on, you burst into tears.
I knew that would come up. Yeah, do you know what? I think it's probably happened about 7 times. It keeps happening because it's just a really weird feeling.
Yeah.
Something so simple. Obviously, when I look at myself, I see lingerie, but then I have nothing on underneath that lingerie to hold everything down. It's all doing it within the lingerie.
Yeah.
And it was just a really weird thing that all I had to do was pop on the lingerie and it holds everything where it needs to be. And I don't have to wear any household tapes or anything or do anything else.
Yeah.
It's really emotional. And it was just, I also think about how many other women around the world are going to get the same feeling. So every time it just gets really emotional for me.
You have to be really proud of yourself, to be honest, because I feel like this kind of thing, so many people probably have like searched it and just not done anything about it, and you've done anything, and that takes a lot of confidence. And I think you're gonna, from this like moment on, like soar, if that makes sense.
I mean, we get tons of messages every day, no joke. We get them every day, like, wow, I've just got my lingerie, I feel so sexy, I feel feminine, thank you so much.
This
means so much. We get messages from parents asking about children's lingerie, because obviously their kids need it, and that is just so heartbreaking for me, thinking about, you know, a 14-year-old teenager not having lingerie and going through the experience I've gone through, but at such a young age. That must be so daunting, and you just must feel really left out to not have a simple product and a simple human need, really.
Yeah, and I also love that you've gone to the efforts to, you know, to make them sexy, you know, to bring the sex appeal and to make it, you know, I think making people feel sexy is such an empowering thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you transition, you know, you kind of go quite over the top. You want to feel really feminine and you want to feel like your true self, because you get really excited about it, because you're finally living the life you were supposed to live. But then you have to put on a product or make something or wear a tape to hold everything down. And then you take your clothes off, you don't feel very sexy, or you've got to rip some tape off, which takes off your skin. It's just not a nice process. Yeah. And, you know, we wanted something that just looks like normal cis lingerie, is made with cis lingerie fabrics. And yeah, so that was really important to me in the design process. I mean, I'm super happy with everything, and I know all my customers so far are happy.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear about that. Can we talk a little bit about your kind of process of going to recruiting models and things for the runway and for your campaigns? Because I know you came up against a few difficulties there.
Oh gosh, aside from the lingerie brand itself, the actual business has had a lot of issues as well. A lot of people wouldn't work with us because we were a transgender business.
Oh gosh, like
yeah, I know. And besides crying about the lingerie, I was always crying a lot in the evening, just because it was just so hard. So, you know, like certain like PR companies wouldn't work with us, or they would make up stories like, "Oh, our diary's full," and I'm like, "You're the biggest PR company in London.
That's horrible.
Like, you can't. It can't be." And just, there's always been a lot of issues along the way, but I just had to keep thinking about all the other women around the world. You know, there are millions of us, and if I don't do it now and keep pushing through it, then maybe it's going to take another 10 years for it to come. So it's been hard, but for the models, we had the same situation. So I rang 7 of the top agencies in London. Only one of them had one trans model who was in New York.
That's so frustrating, you know, that these are supposed to be the top agencies.
I just don't get it. The top ones. I'm not going to name any names right now, but it's the top ones. And, you know, you see them everywhere in the magazines. You see a lot of trans women in the magazine, because we're going through that now where, you know, people are starting to accept us and we are being used in magazines. But then I'm like, where the fuck are they? Because I'm not finding them.
Yeah, gosh, that's it's
frustrating.
Honestly, and just like something so simple as finding a model took months, and I didn't get some of my models till like 2 weeks before, and obviously I had to design all the gowns for the runway, which were corseted, so they were to fit the models, but then obviously I couldn't make them to fit the models because I didn't know who the models were, because I couldn't find any.
That's so frustrating. And there are so many, I think this is something that people forget sometimes, there are so many trans people out there. Like it's not a small handful of people, there's so many people.
I mean, the UK is around 700,000.
That's so many people, you know.
Then when you go to America is about 1.4 million, and then all the Asian countries are way in the millions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's millions of us. It's not like there's only someone in my office thought there was only about 20,000 trans people in the UK. Like, people are way off.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a lack of information there. That's not their fault. But, yeah, we just need to make awareness of this, that there are a lot of us, and we do need specific products for us.
Yeah, I think it's a representation issue again. You know, I think we're not, so we don't, you know, there's not enough trans representation out there. And but the more we do, and I mean, you doing the runways and all the rest of it, you know, that's bringing the representation, that's bringing the awareness.
I mean, it was just amazing, the runway. I mean, the models, like, we were all backstage, and they just felt, you know, they were just like, "Thank you so much, Carmen. I feel so empowered, and I feel so accepted from being able to walk down that runway."
Oh,
and even myself,
amazing.
I felt like I walked through a bubble when I walked on the runway, because I actually felt accepted as myself for the first time in 4 years.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like, it was really weird. Like, it was just amazing. I felt so empowered. And so many of our guests who also weren't transgender just said they felt so empowered because of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, I know a lot of guests couldn't attend because our biggest market is overseas. And I know that when they watch the videos or see the articles, they're going to feel empowered from that, seeing stuff in the media, positive stuff in the media.
I have actually seen, I've not seen the videos, but I have seen pictures of yourself. Ooh. And you look amazing. You look like a supermodel. And what I love about it is how happy and confident and sexy you look. And I can tell that you feel that. And it's amazing that, you know, you've created a product that has given you and so many other women out there that feeling.
Oh, I tell you, like, the first, obviously, I've been wearing the lingerie. I'm wearing it now. I've been wearing it since we started the prototype. And I would leave the house just in such a good spirit. I'd be like skipping down the street just because of the lingerie, which you just honestly realize, they think I'm being ridiculous or making this up. But honestly, how much it's affected us is just so bad. And you don't realize it until you've got it. And I just feel so happy. Like, I was sitting on my desk and I'm just thinking to myself, I know what I've got underneath. And it feels comfortable. It's not hurting me. It's not painful. And it's just changed how I am day to day.
That's
just
amazing.
Simple lingerie. Well, it's not simple, but
no. And I you know what? I feel like I can relate to that. You know, I put on a sexy pair of underwear when I'm going on a
you
night out, and I feel hotter. Yeah. I feel more attractive.
Save the world.
Yeah, it's such an important thing.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It really is, and I just can't wait for everyone to get their orders and stuff.
And what is the future of this? Because I know, like you said, you sold out in 3 days when you first put it out.
We have a big future. So,
now
the runway collection is online. So we've also just launched our bralette and bra
collection, which matches the panties. So now we've got matching lingerie.
Amazing.
But the bras have been designed specific for women that are on HRT.
Yeah.
And have had silicone implants. So they've been designed specific for trans women again. Mm-hmm. Obviously, cis women can wear them too, but we have put into thought that process of HRT because, you know, within 18 months, your boobs can grow from a, well, flat-chested up to a C-cup very quick. So if you have to keep buying new bras, it'll be quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have put that into consideration that you can wear one of the same size bras for maybe 2-3 cup size because of the fabric we've used. It does allow a stretch until you get to the implants. And then when the implants come, then it's a fabric which is specific for that cup size.
You've thought of everything.
Oh, yeah, I've been busy. We have a lot of stuff coming with the Carmen Lou brand, and there will be some new collections of lingerie coming, as well as some other things.
Well, you have events, right?
Yes, we do. So our next event is on the 7th of April, which is a hair and makeup masterclass.
Mm. And that's specifically aimed at trans women?
No, anyone can come along.
Oh, everyone,
It's basically just a makeup masterclass. But there will be more tips about how to make your face maybe look more feminine.
Yeah.
But it's also to give trans women those times that they never had as children where they, you know, stole their sister's makeup or their parents' makeup and played in makeup. So it's giving us back the years that we never had.
Oh, such a beautiful idea.
Yeah, so beautiful. Oh, so lovely.
You like that one?
I want to go to your next show, like, definitely.
Oh, come along.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll both be there.
Yeah, come along. Chant with me.
Carmen, it's been a pleasure having you here and chatting with you. Where, if people want to, you know, check out your lingerie or buy some for themselves, where mm-hmm. can they do that?
So that'll be online, and that is www.gicollection.co.uk.
Amazing. And if people want to follow you and your story as well, do you have Instagram or anything like that where we can follow you?
Instagram, yes. So my story, my personal story, it's at It's Carmen Lou, L-I-U. And then also the company page, which also links through to my page, is GI Collection UK.
Amazing. Well, Carmen, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're going to play you out with a little bit of Electric by Lauren Sanderson.
Love it.
Speak to me, sweet, I'm trying. Don't run away from I was drawn to you. You inspire me, my muse. Don't run away from me. Don't take your love from me. I feel like I'm made for you. Don't play me for a fool.
Tells you no, but your heart tells you yes. And I know that you'll get me, but I don't know you yet. Ever since I saw you, see me look away, my love. You've been doing everything to lock away, my love. You got the key, why don't you open up to me, my love? Send your body up to heaven's fucking gates, my love. I pray my whole life for you. I feel your vibe from across. I felt you.
Michael, are you ready for some sex confessions?
I'm really excited.
Me too. It's actually been a while since we've done sex confessions on the show because we've been doing loads of other exciting things. So it's great to bring the sex confessions back. Thank you so much to everyone who has sent one in. Michael, do you want to dive right in and read the first one for me?
Sure. I love wearing shoes in bed, but my partner thinks it's super unhygienic. Need to tell him to lighten up. You get me?
I mean, you could have like some special shoes just for the bedroom, you know? Like, I kind of get it because I used to date somebody who had a foot fetish and they were major into the whole shoes mm-hmm. in the bedroom kind of thing. But like, if you've been like hiking in the forest... And you've got like mud all over your shoes. You don't want to bring those in the bed.
It ain't coming in the bedroom. No.
So I think it depends on the shoe, you know. Or like even if you're like super into it, maybe just, you know, you wash the sheets after. It's fine, you know. Like things come clean.
Yeah. I like socks, but shoes, I've never done that.
Never done a shoe. Oh, I feel like every person I've ever dated has had a very specific fetish. I feel like I've rifled through them all at this point. All right, I will read the next one. Okay, more of a question than a confession. Do you like naked attraction? I'm conflicted, kind of a guilty pleasure. Is this the show where you just see the person's genitals and then you...
Yeah, and then you see their, like, and then you see their faces and stuff.
So do you decide if you want to date them based on their genitals alone? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so you see them...
Oh, and then you see their whole body naked, and then you see the face last.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I remember being in a hotel room, and this came on, and, like, me and my friends were like, what is this? When was this on television? Like, I was so shocked. It's crazy.
I don't know how I feel about that, because, like, I need a face. I really need a face. You know, there's a lot of guys on Grindr and stuff, and they just show torso pictures or their other body parts.
I'm straight away like face.
Yeah,
like,
I need to see the face.
Quite bluntly, actually, face.
And I know you get to see their face later on, but even still, like making that decision backwards. I don't know. I think it's an interesting concept, and I think it's fun that they're like. Pushing boundaries, because this is on like Channel 4. This is on like a mainstream channel.
It's great television. It's great entertainment. So that's.
I'm not against it. I don't think it's problematic. I don't think you should consider it a guilty pleasure. If you enjoy the show, then enjoy the show.
Yeah,
I've never actually watched it, but I am kind of tempted. Mm. Especially, you know, I'm guessing they have some like, good-looking people on there. I like a bit of nakedness, like a little bit
from,
of nudity.
From my memory, the guy was. Like hairy as hell, and I was like, really hairy.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of hair. Nothing wrong with a little bit of hair. It's not my preference, but you know, a lot of people love a hairy person. Mm. Yeah, they do. They do. It's a thing. Do you want to read the next one, Michael? Yeah. Here you go.
I love phone sex. I once had phone sex with my boyfriend at the time, whilst fully fiddling with myself, whilst my cousin was in the same tent as me on a holiday.
Oh my god! In the same tent. Like I'm hoping this was like a big, like proper big family tent,
a glamping tent.
Yeah, yeah, not just like
not a, like a tiny. Oh no.
I've done both. I've done, you know, the big glamping tents at the festivals, but I've also done I've done the one person tent where you like squeeze three people in and it's very intimate. Mm-hmm. Far too intimate to be having phone sex while your cousin's next to you.
No. Oh. I like phone sex though. That's always been something I like.
I don't know if I've ever had phone sex. I've done like, I've obviously like done the whole texting, sending nudes, talking dirty kind of thing, but I don't actually think I've ever like sat on the phone while somebody's talked to me and masturbated. I don't think I've ever done that.
Well, I've done that too. You might have done it and they could have been wanking, you just wouldn't know.
Oh, that's true.
That's
never happened. I'm the kind, I like a brief phone call. You know, if you're going to call me, tell me what you want and we'll wrap it up in 30 seconds and then go. I'm not about like just chatting for hours. I'm not here for it. But you know, if you enjoy phone sex, good for you. Just maybe not with your cousin next time. would be my advice.
Yeah.
We've got one last one. Would you like to read this one as well, Michael? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've such a lovely voice.
Thank you. I am now fully transitioned and ready for sex and sexy things and feeling bodies. I'm ready. You hear me?
Oh, that's amazing. And I think that goes so hand in hand with what, you know, Carmen was saying on the phone there. I think it's so important, and it must be difficult, you know, to be transitioning and then to have that moment of, you know what, like, I'm here now. I have this amazing body and I'm ready to use it, and I'm ready to be sexual, and I'm ready to be sexualized as well. I think that's I think that's amazing. All I can say is good for you. I also like that they've put "I'm ready, you hear me" in capital letters, just to emphasize that.
I feel they would have said it better than I did. I tried.
You ruined that a little bit, Michael.
Thanks, Callum.
Knew I shouldn't have let you read it. Michael, that actually brings us on to the end of our show. Ooh, it's gone so quickly. It's been so lovely to have you here. This is your opportunity to plug yourself, you know, because you have such an amazing online presence and people should go and follow you. So where and also why? No pressure.
I talk about important subjects that not enough people talk about. You can find me at Michael Joseph Hardwick or go on Callum's story. And he's recently posted about me today.
Yes, and it should be fairly easy to find you. I mean, Michael Joseph Hardwick is
sequins.
And you genuine as well when it comes to your fashion. You I think you're so good at putting looks together, and all your pictures are amazing. I can tell you put a lot of time into them.
I just put things together very quickly.
You need to dress me. You need to dress me because I struggle.
Sure. I'll do it. It's fine.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Everybody should absolutely go and follow you and all the wonderful things you are doing. And I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Video by Cub Sport. Okay, here we go.
Good love.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.